Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
It was a dream she'd been nursing for 10 years, ever since she decided to join the newspaper staff during her junior year of high school. She loved sliding words and paragraphs around in a game of literary Tetris. The act of editing soothed her, and while she'd be the first to admit she had an inclination toward Black writers yearning for a space to tell Black stories, she'd happily edit just about anything thrown her way.
That's Zakiya Dalila Harris, reading from her debut novel, The Other Black Girl. It's about a young editorial assistant named Nella Rogers, who is the only Black girl at Wagner Books, until Hazel starts working there. Nella envisions becoming friends with Hazel, but that's not how things work out. After a series of disturbing events, Hazel turns out to be more than meets the eye. Besides crafting a page-turner, Zakiya also addresses diversity in the workplace and Black women in America. The fact that The Other Black Girl is set in the world of publishing is no coincidence. Zakiya spent almost 3 years working in editorial at Knopf Doubleday, and fittingly enough, it was while working there that she came up with the idea for her novel.
The biggest moment was when I was working there. I'd been promoted at this point from editorial assistant to assistant editor, which is huge, getting promoted. And that kind of job is very difficult and entry-level position. And I was washing my hands in the bathroom, and this other Black woman came out of the bathroom stall. I had never seen her before. I knew how many Black people were on the floor. It was me and another older Black gentleman who's an editor, has been there for a while. And that's it. So when I saw her, I was very surprised. I did the thing I think a lot of Black people and just people of color in general do when they're in these white spaces. I was like trying to sort of get her attention, maybe strike up a conversation in some kind of way, but not in a weird way. And nothing happened. I went back to my desk and I started writing the book in that moment because I was just so interested in, of course, seeing her and wondering if we would be friends, if we would be like find solidarity in being the two Black women on our floor. Then I also wondered about, you know, I didn't think she didn't speak to me on purpose, but I definitely thought about another tourism that Black people have of just like, we are sometimes, we feel like we're in competition with one another because there's so few of us that you sometimes, I mean, there's a joke that there can only be one of us, but then that joke / truism comes from a real place.
Yeah. Your book explores the underrepresented theme of the inner struggle of the professional Black woman. You talk about having to work twice as hard and code switching to be successful. How did writing about this impact you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made me think a lot about my own experiences, just not just in publishing, but just in every job I've had. As a young Black woman, I know that a lot of people will have expectations of me the moment they meet me. And this is something that I think, again, a lot of Black people can relate to, of feeling like you have to prove yourself. You have to constantly be a certain way. You have to leave this Black part of you essentially at home. I just thought it was a really interesting thing to think about, especially while exploring the world of publishing and how publishing itself, I think no matter who you are, you do have to sometimes leave a part of you at home because it's a really interesting industry where you're all working toward the same goals in a lot of ways. Like you want to make this book work, you want to make this book sell, but everyone has to be on the same page, pun unintended. And so,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I think as much as I can. Yeah. The concept of a Black woman's hair is kind of a cultural flashpoint, but you use your character's hair as a brilliant backdrop in the novel and as a wholly original plot device. Why did you decide to lean into this?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, for me, again, I can't emphasize enough how much, I mean, Nella's experiences in a lot of ways are very different from mine, but in terms of just like Wagner Books, the wackiness of Wagner Books. But I, like Nella, have had a very complicated relationship with my hair. I grew up in a mostly white neighborhood in Connecticut. I was mostly around white people for a lot of my young life until I got to high school. And so I always wanted to relax my hair like most of my friends. I wanted to have straight hair, like most of my white friends, I mean. And I started to really think about, why am I doing this? Like, besides the fact that I can't afford this, it's very expensive to do it on the regular. But I also just was thinking about how much of my own decisions that I've made as a young person have been informed by other people. So, and my hair is really the most obvious thing. And so I cut it all off about 5 or 6 years ago, did the big chop, and it was such a freeing feeling. And I know for me personally, I just felt so much more connected to the Black experience too. And I know for Nella, having often been on the outside or feeling like she's been on the outside in terms of, again, like her similar background of growing up mostly around white people, not feeling like she's having like the Black experience that everyone thinks she's had. The one thing that she does truly know is Black hair and that experience of having Black hair and having this love-hate relationship with it as a young person. And so I really wanted that to be the thing that when she meets Hazel, they're both so different, both raised in different environments. Nella's raised in Connecticut. Hazel's raised in Harlem. But the thing that they can really connect over is their hair. And I think that's so beautiful. And also, of course, it has its implications too.
Yeah. This is kind of a cliche question, but I think it's worth asking in this particular case. How much of you is there in your protagonist, Nella Rogers?
There's a lot. I have to say, honestly, I have a lot of, and I've worked through many of them, but I've had a lot of her insecurities and her anxieties. I mean, I have experienced the feeling of being in a classroom in high school with other Black students and having, like, answering a question and having her say in front of everyone, like, oh, she talks like a white girl. And like that feeling for me as a young person, and even today, it still hurts to look back on it because I really internalized that and thought about just like why I felt like I, at the time I hadn't really thought about why I talked that way. I didn't know for a while that I spoke differently from what a lot of Black people expected me to speak, at least in that time. And so I really, really wanted that to come through with Nella's character, how she's straddling these two worlds. It's really hard. And so many people do this in some way, at least. Mm.
In the novel, Nella is a huge fan of and inspired by this novel called Burning Heart, which was written by Diana Gordon and edited by Kendra Ray Phillips, two Black women. Is there a novel that means as much to you as Burning Heart means to Nella?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I know for me, I mean, it's not the same, but Kindred by Octavia Butler was really big for me. I read that for the first time when I was in high school. I took an African-American lit elective. First Black teacher I ever had. It's like my senior year of high school. And she's a wonderful woman, Miss Henderson. But that book, Kindred, really blew me away. I think as a young person, you read a lot about slavery in a certain kind of genre. Usually it's through essays or autobiographical works and those kind of nonfiction angles. But I loved the way that Kindred was able to get at the horrors of slavery using this trope of time travel. Time travel is such a, I think about it and it's a hard trope, I think, to pull off. I think we've seen it done in so many ways, but the way that she uses it to really show the generational effects of slavery and trauma in Black people is just so powerful to me. And I just still to this day admire the book. I've read it at least one more time. I revisit it every now and then, but I read it again while I was editing this book because I just, such an amazing writer and so easy to get lost in that world.
It sounds very intriguing. I've got to read that book. I have to admit that I did not see the ending coming, and obviously we don't want to reveal the ending. Can you tell us, though, when you came up with it? Was it something you were working toward, or did you arrive at it while you were writing?
You know, I was working toward it. I mentioned how much I love horror and these kind of thrilling stories. So I mean, Night of the Living Dead has a classic ending that just, like, gets you in the gut, and for me, I always spend like hours afterwards thinking about it. Same with Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, so I really wanted to have the same effect with this ending. I'm a really positive person, but I can also be a cynic. Diversity issues are one thing that I'm sometimes, like, I'm hopeful, but in other times I'm like, are we ever going to get it right, though? And so I really wanted to, I don't want to give away too much, but I wanted to have this moment at the end of the book where we're done with the book, but we're not actually done with the book. So this ending, I want you to talk about it. I want you to think about it, and I want you to really engage with it. And how could it have been different? Could anything have been different? Could anything have changed the ending, rather than having it end in this other way that is maybe a little more comforting, but still, I don't think to me really does the same thing that this ending does, where I really want it to be, I want it to make you uncomfortable, because those are the endings that I love reading and watching.
Yeah, me too. Those are the best kind of endings. And I'm still thinking about it, having finished the book a few weeks ago.
Thank you.
What kind of reaction are you expecting the other Black girl to get from your former colleagues?
Well, you know, a lot of people actually have read it. It's so weird, I have to say, though. It's so surreal to be on the other side, because you know how so many people quit publishing, I think, to write. And I knew when I did it, I was like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I love this. Let's try it. And so to have colleagues reading it or having read it or pre-ordered it means a lot to me. And I've gotten a lot of really great feedback. I mean, the thing about this book, too, that I do like to say is that there are no characters in this book that are actually based on anybody. Like, they're all amalgamations of people and of publishing people. And so across the industry, I've had people say, like, I know this person, which is really satisfying, but also a little scary. But I think the thing that I love is just really hearing from people that were also editorial assistants who are like, this is so real. Like, you got this so right. Because I think when you're in your head and you're in your cubicle for so long, you kind of worry if you're able to get it right, I think, with this book. I was very worried about that. And so to have other people who have been in that same seat, Black people and also just everybody, I think to have them say, you got that editorial assistant experience, or just that assistant experience right, generally, was really satisfying for me.
Yeah. Hulu is set to produce a TV series based on your novel, which isn't surprising because the book is so visual. You're working with Tara Duncan, who helped develop shows like Orange is the New Black. What can you tell us about the adaptation?
Yes. Well, I am co-writing it with a co-writer who has not been announced just yet. I believe it'll be announced very soon, though. But what I can say is that I have been working on the pilot of the first episode of the show. So it's been really fun. I am learning so much. I've never done this kind of writing. And when I started writing this book, I was just like, okay, I hope this book works. I wasn't thinking into the other world, the other side of things. So to have such an enthusiastic response, and then also have my wonderful producers say, like, we want you to be as much a part of this as you want to be. We want you to be a part of this, but also we understand this is completely new to you. And I was like, yes, let's do it. And happily, I would love to try. So yeah, it's been really rewarding and really fun to spend more time with these characters and get to really imagine them moving through the world.
That's great. Looking forward to seeing that. Zakiya Dalila-Harris, thank you very much. It was so much fun to talk to you. Such a pleasure and privilege. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doug. Thank you for having me.
Zakiya Dalila-Harris is the author of The Other Black Girl. You can find out more about Zakiya and her novel at wpr.org/beta.
These are women who use a real tragedy to con people. So they will say that they lost their house in Hurricane Katrina, or they were there on 9/11.
Author Tori Telfer talks about the tragedians and other kinds of con women. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.